The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
This week is the second week of my four-week intensive workshop that's teaching how to buy your first out-of-state investment property. This week, we went over how to assemble a team that you can trust and help you reach your goals in real estate. It was amazing. And if you are interested in joining the workshop, it's not too late. You can join the workshop and you can also get replays of any sessions that you may have missed. Next week, we're going to go over how to find and analyze properties. So if you're tired of the expensive market that you live in, if you want to learn how to buy affordable investment properties, go to outofstatemoney.com/workshop or click the link in the description of this episode. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight from episode 174 with the good brothers Nigel and Winfield. These brothers are doing amazing things in Baltimore, and they're going to be talking about the importance of relationships and stewarding a company that has over $130 million of development projects all lined up and ready to go. These brothers are doing amazing things, and so let's talk about it. Let's get into episode 174 with Baltimore real estate developers Nigel and Winfield from episode 174. Let's get into it.
I like that you mentioned take it to the smartest person you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, the reality of it is, like, you know, there's funds and different things like that, and people are actually encouraging people to do the opposite and, hey, just right. Trust me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I would think as you're talking to investors and things like that, if that's your approach,
yeah,
I would assume it helps people to trust you and trust that, you know, y'all have integrity and, you know, you're serious about what it is you're doing.
Totally. No, and I think that exact phrase that you made, just trust me, is the one that we run away from. So it's very easy. Easy is not the right word. Over a period of time, we've built a very strong brand, both Winfield and I, because we have consistently been able to succeed outside of just real estate, but like just the body of work that you have been able to display over, let's just say 10, 15 years, has allowed us to be able to get people to just trust us. Where we want to stand out is we don't want you to just trust us. We want you to be able to look at the data, look at the research and understand why you made that decision. Why is that? Well, the reason being is we use our money too, right? Like we like as much as we want our investors to get a return, selfishly, we want to get a return on our money. Right. A lot of these deals, we have a lot of our money tied up into these deals. So just trust me doesn't work. And I still get nostalgic when I'm putting my money out, when I'm actually going to the bank and I have to write that check and do that direct deposit. There's no just trust me. It's page 17, paragraph 6 is why I'm able to put my money out. And I understand a timeline. I want to continually, like, because what we believe is a big part of what we have to do is to educate our people and be a resource. Like, that's the service that we also must provide. Yes, there's service in being in the community, but there's still a level of service that you have to add where we're constantly learning.
Yeah, and it's like bad habit. Like, mm-hmm. We don't want our community getting bad habits,
mm.
Right? And I think this is why what you do is so important, because it shows people, hey, let me learn so I don't get into bad habits, right? And I think it's a bad habit for somebody to say, well, I know Sam, I know Nigel, I'm just going to trust him. It's a bad habit. Maybe, you know, it's not important to some people, but I think it's extremely important for people to go through a proper due diligence process and know what that looks like, right? And if you can go do that, then I know that the trust is in the deal. And then, of course, you can say, all right, I trust you guys, right, on the outside of that. But I've done the work so I could say, okay, even though I trust them, this is my worst case scenario. So if they could be telling me all great things, but what's my worst case scenario? So I think that's one of the big things, just preventing bad habits. That's why we tell people, go do your own due diligence, because we don't want you to trust us. We want you to go through good due diligence process. So then when you, somebody else who wants you to trust you, you can say, okay, what is that cap rate? Okay, what's the NOI, right? What's the cost of construction?
I think you do a good job of talking about the risk as well.
Risk is the one thing, right? Yeah, you got to know. You have to know.
You can lose it all. Yep.
Definitely. No, I'm telling you, I really do appreciate that, because it's crazy out here.
Yeah.
You know, and people are just giving their money to whoever and just believing what people say. But there's something to be said for guys who are saying, this is the information, you go verify it yourself. We'll give you everything, 200-page report, all this stuff. And if it looks good to you, let's do it. You know, so I definitely appreciate that.
And even making sure that we paper up correctly, right? I don't want you to give me anything without receiving something back in return, mm-hmm. right? So just having that private placement memorandum, right? Understanding what your equity share is, understanding what the cap table actually looks like. We want to be completely transparent. We want you to understand the purchase price. Right. We're not telling you that we purchased at a number. No, we will show you exactly what we purchased at. You'll be able to see line item what the use of funds are. So I think that, you know, full transparency is also really important in this business, because it's not always done that way. You know?
Yeah, it's not.
Sounds crazy, but it's not always done that way. Right.
So. True.
Definitely. So what was the document you just mentioned?
Private placement memorandum.
What does that mean?
So basically, if a person is investing into a deal, right, what we want to do is we want to make sure they understand how many units in the deal they own. So let's just say I'm taking an investment of $5,000 and each unit is $1,000. You now own 5 units, and the total units is the total units, which is very similar to what we've seen on the stock market. Mm-hmm. Right. So in a stock market, people typically will make their investment. They're buying shares. You're buying shares within this property, which has a value. Each share has a value, which then gets you equity into the deal. And then again, now we start to talk about paper returns and all those other, you know, great things that I think is really beneficial, but it's not always talked about in our community, and how to best leverage paper returns, or what it even means to have a high net worth, or what a net worth even is as a whole.
Yeah. And breaks down as well the business itself. What are we going to be doing? Mm-hmm. Right. It breaks down the risk. You have to have the risk factors in. It's a legal document that really just goes through everything about the deal.
Yeah, you're talking about the operating agreement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like everything about the deal is it should be in there. Right. So it's all this stuff we should know. Right. And it should be available. Right. Before you do anything. I think anybody that sends, because we can send, I can send deals every day. Right. And so if I do get the chance, I try to stay sharp and look at everything. Like, I'm asking people, hey, do you have this? I give them a checklist of things. Hey, is all this here? Okay, if that's there, then, you know, I've even seen deals where there's only like offer memorandum or a deck, but I can't see the pro forma. I don't know what your assumptions are. I don't know anything. So I see stuff all the time, and I get asked questions all the time about certain things. And when I go through it, sometimes it's not that things don't pencil out, but it gives you certain questions ahead of time that you need to answer before you do anything.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So if someone is, let's say someone's looking to develop, right, in Baltimore, let's just use that for an example. What are some of the numbers and all those things that people are looking at? Because, I mean, usually it's just like a plot of dirt, but what all goes into it?
Yeah. So I can really kind of walk everybody through my process. I guess this isn't really secret sauce at all, right? Because you still have to do the work. But my mindset is always on highest and best use, right? That term in itself is, what can we do? What's the highest and best use from a feasibility standpoint, a legal standpoint, a zoning standpoint, a physical standpoint? How can we, you know, bring this property to its highest and best use, and its current use and its highest and best use. So what I do is I scour the zoning map, the neighborhoods for properties that are not in their highest and best use, right? And that we can put, you know, high density which means high unit counts or residential unit counts or commercial. So mixed use, it could be retail and residential on a property. And then that would let me know what the value is. So I always go back to that baseline of value. Okay, we find a property, and we can give an example of a property in Irvington. We do not own this one. It's a retail shop. They paid $1.2 million for it, but it's 3 acres, and you can put 400 units on it. Mixed use. And they bought it for $1.2 million. And, you know, that in itself is the retail space of where it is. It's 4 retail spaces. That's not the highest and best use. So even if we bought it for $3 million from them, it's probably worth 15. So what we try to do and focus on is, can we, you know, in Baltimore, the average, you know, price per unit that people buy at is about 30,000 to 50,000, you know, give or take, depending on location. What we've done is we bought things in an average of $3,500 a unit. So usually, and this is what Nadja talked about, like paper returns, usually what we buy is, you know, at a discount, because the current use is not the highest and best use. So what we know is that people are selling it for its current use, but we're buying it for its highest and best use.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.